Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm
just listened to is actually a poem put to music, and the poem was written by Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of that music is Shout Even Shy. Great song that we like to open the shows with. You are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we hang out at allpoetry.com. sharing poetry, and tonight we've got some poems for you based on some lines from the poems by the poet Stephen 7-6. And this is Deborah Lee, and I'm going to get this show on the road by letting some people in the room, starting with my co-host, my big brother Hatter.
Hey,
Hatter.
Hey, how are you doing?
I do. How you do?
Good. Be careful what you do in the green room.
Oh, give me a break. Behave, Hatter.
Okay.
Right behind Hatter is none other than the head of the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and also affectionately known as the Man from Snowy River and the Wizard of Oz and a couple other names like Choff. Hello, AP. Yep. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm very excited by a picture I did today, so that doesn't happen very often, but I've got the vibe, Deb. I'm feeling it.
Awesome. I'm pretty excited about the surprise you have for Stephen, too. But speaking of, let's say hello to the dynamic duo, Kay and her husband, Stephen 76. She is the owner of a Poetic Slice of Life, and he is the poet we are featuring tonight. Hey, you two.
Hello.
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 Happy you're here.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Happy. 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 Rare form, yeah, which is a good thing. Does that mean you found your poem?
No. Found the meds.
Oh.
I'm good.
Okay, so then maybe I better get this rolling before you start nodding in the other direction here.
Yep.
Ha, ha, ha. But, AP, I know it's a work day in Oz when you are headed there, so maybe you might want to kick us off with that aforementioned surprise for Stephen.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I went and had a look at the quotes and then had a look at the pictures, and I then decided to do a brevity. And the brevity is to the quote, your quote: "Winter's wind sings a lullaby against the window pane," and it's called "Past the Broken Chassis," and it goes a little bit like this. "Shards flash of polished retreads, light intake of brakes through a curve. 76 chassis lichen, rust creeps by speckled window glass, corners swerve. Wind strums a wing mirror lullaby, of wire jangles of saplings seek out sea. Branches entangled in child's memory, beagle out towards stars for three. In pong."
Very cool. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow, I can't wait to see what Stephen thinks. Now, AP has one too. And I thought you did great between the fact that it was like there was nostalgia mixed in with the wording and it brought the picture to life of the punch buggy graveyard quite well. I thought that it was And the little nod to child's memories as beetles out towards stars, filigree. I just thought you did a fantastic job with this, and congratulations on that 4-line 10. It looks like Stephen started a trend.
Thank you, Deb.
Stephen, what do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I could tell that it was a 4-line 10 while you were reading it. I could just tell. That it made it. It's really cool that you got one too, and it is a really cool 4-line. I could actually, your words let me hear the wind. I could hear the branches scraping against the bodies of the car, and your last line, it just threw the love bug in my head and Herbie, because you know. So yeah, I thought this was really cool, AP. Thanks.
Hi, Steve. I thought you'd sort of get a kick out of it, so I had to try.
Cool comment. And Hatter, what you think? Oh, hold that thought a second. Raconteur, is that you?
I'm not myself today. Hello.
You're bot.
Don't let me interrupt the process.
Someone disguised as Raconteur is in the studio. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And Hatter, please go ahead and comment for AP's poll.
I'm going to have to excuse because I'm only halfway here. I'm still in search of getting my stuff together. Wasn't able to follow. But what I did here was great, though. Sorry.
No problem. Rack, I don't know how long you were there. Did you get to hear that?
It reminded me a little of the nursery rhyme And of course, after hearing AP's version, now I can't remember the original. But when the bell breaks, the cradle will fall. It kind of had that vibe to it. Your point of view is very relatable, and you know you back it up with lovely choice of language and melody. So you know, when you do something like that, it's very memorable.
Thank you, Rick.
Great comment. I never thought about London Bridges. Kay, will you comment for AP before you read your poem, please?
Well, yeah, as you were reading, I did notice that it was a 4-line 10, so that's pretty cool there. But yeah, the image of the cars, the rusted down, broken down cars, the metaphor to that, it definitely speaks of the cars, the shells, the broken shells, the humanity of mind, but also bringing in the ceiling, the breeze as well. It's a great write all around.
Thank you, Kai.
Awesome.
It's Rockabye Baby then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, got it.
Rockabye Baby on the treetop. Okay, cool. Cool. And AP, I think you said you had to read and go, so I appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you, and thanks to Stephen, and great idea again on the show, and some great quotes there, and some great picks, and so have a great show, and I hope you really enjoy it, Steve.
Thank you, AP. Take care.
Okay. Thanks,
thanks AP. Respect.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have Kay's poem on the board. I forgot to ask AP to tell us which quote he wrote to, but Kay, if you would tell us the one you chose, that would be fantastic.
Okay. Well, it looks like we chose the same one. AP chose Winter's Wind sings a lullaby against the window pane. And that is the quote that I chose as well. So seems like that's the popular quote.
Yeah.
I call this gracefully nesting an endeavor to remember. Have a nation of fireflies felt in the night air and mystic short orders of mind as winter casts blocking of tempest, something in gold, bluebells and white anticipation wardrobes, with greens in the glitter, still in white, yet glimmering untouched by feet and hands. Polished, hands hold the Bible, the other hand hold a mind, baby girl feature of a woman, to feel the words is to know the words. In this moment, this passionate gray twirls, smoky hints of discontent in a day's bore. Quote the wintergreen folds, the silence, the shadows, and evergreen fleeces. A chiffonier and bridges of time. Blanket and lace of warmth. Fireplaces of bones. Quiet shadows of hardwood light. Footprints through time. A sequin of cut-ups. Sacred to the bone and marrow. And brush in the Clinton scent. This is how you feel the words in the recesses. Strip in the sallow of pounds. Heartbeat. Powder and sensitivity. This winter's wind sings a lullaby against the window pane. And
wow. Real quick before I comment, let's say hey to Sweet. Hello, my Sweet. Welcome to the show.
Oh, honey, how are you?
I'm well. How you doing?
Good.
Good. And it looks like it might be Adam right behind you. Let me see. Adam, is that you?
Right behind.
Awesome. Glad you're here. Welcome to the show. I'm just about to comment on Kay's poem. So anyway, Kay, yeah, that second stanza there, polished his hands, hold the Bible, the other is holding mine, baby girl, future of a woman. To feel the words is to know the words. There's something so tender and beautiful about that, especially the baby girl. The endearment is like gorgeous. Fireplaces, the bones, quiet shadows of hardwoods light, footprints through time. There's that feel of generations past and the warmth that it brings. This is how you feel the words in the recesses, stripping the shallow, the solo, and the words in the recesses, those are those words that are just there that you, the good, the, well, to use one of your folder titles, the good, the bad, and the ugly, there's just certain things that stick, and I like the way it's put in the recesses. It's there, you know. And as Winter's Wings sings a lullaby against the window pane, I love that you had concluded with that to, like, tie in the two of you there in the ending. I really, really like this. And I should have started in the first line, hibernation of fireflies flouting the night air. It's just the images, the feel. And especially, I say again, that second stanza, I think this is fantastic. Great share, Kay. Let me get you some comment. How about Adam? Would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure, of course. This is beautifully, just swooningly romantic. I felt like to be thought of this way, and it's so... Like, even the way Kay read it, but before that, you know, I had written a comment to this when I read it earlier today, and I was just like, it made you feel warm, and almost like that warmth you get that is extra warm through, like, that apricity effect, you know, when you feel warmth on a cold, you know, on a winter's day, when the sun warms you just so that you get that buzz, and it had that feel like so intimate, so deeply intimate. Yeah, that, you know, it was so deeply intimate, and that, like, wrapped up so tight and perfect, and, like, almost like that's how she feels towards, you know, and the vice versa. Like, you see it both, a mutuality there and throughout this piece, elegant language and descriptions. And my favorite line, I would say, and it's very, I mean, I would, you know, would probably be considered probably the most plain line of all, but I love it. To feel the words is to know the words. Damn, that's like an author's quote that could go down and, you know, to be, you know, re-said and as a thing. To feel the words is to know the words. That's just, to me, that has such weight in that line. It's just wow. I love it, Kay. It's beautiful. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, what did you think?
You're going to have to excuse me. I got a problem, so I got to take care of it.
Okay, all right. Raconteur, please.
Yeah, I like the same quote that Adam did about feel the words, know the words. That was beautiful. But my favorite part was what you said towards the end, too. You know, the whole winter aspect reminded me, you kind of keyed in, I think, on the blanket of snow, which added the idea of warmth and, you know, the footprints and everything else to it. The little things that you did when you crafted it, you know, made it all come together in a beautiful way. And, you know, when you speak of nature, you know, it's just, you know, you're at home. It feels comfortable. It feels like, you know, not only are you familiar with it, but there's a certain reverence to how you speak of it. And that comes out in your words as well. I thought it was beautiful.
Great. Excuse me. Great comment, Raconteur. And Stephen, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I really love this because I could see us in almost every word. I could see us in the past and us in the now and you maybe us in the future. The line that everybody seems to be focusing on, the feel the words, know the words, it kind of makes me think of how you and I sometimes have our own little language and we kind of know what we're talking about without having to even talk sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that. And then there's that whole first stanza talking about that untouched, newly fallen snow where there's no footprints or handprints in it, and it's just like such a beautiful sight to see. And yeah, it's a very cozy feeling poem, and I really love it a lot.
Aw. You know, that was a really beautiful comment, Stephen. And on a side note, Kay, congratulations. I see it's got the front page pick, and it's also a gold-winning poem, and easy to see why. And I added it to my list. Great share. And I know you have to go. I appreciate you calling. Were you staying for Stephen to read, or are you gone right now?
Do you want me to stay for you?
You don't have to. Okay. I know you're not feeling it.
Stephen's staying.
You've heard this many before.
I know.
Well, feel better and take care of you. And I'll check on you tomorrow.
Bye, Kay.
Bye, Kay.
Okay, now, you know, I'm on my way to grab your poem, Stephen. And why everything's loading so slowly tonight, I don't know. But I got
it
in my... what was that?
It's the LSD. Everything's
slowing. Everything's moving so slow. I thought that meant trails or something, not slowness. But okay.
No,
so,
that's marijuana.
Ah, there you go. Well, something like that, right?
Listen to the podcast pedal.
Right.
Let me
eat
my Twinkie and everything will be good.
I'd be willing to bet that Stephen did not pick a quote. He just went free for all because all the quotes are about him tonight. And wow, what a gift on the beginning of this poem. That's pretty wicked, and it goes perfect with the art he chose. Wow, wow, wow. Where's the team of voices? Oh, I did put it there. Okay, if you see his poem on the board, please click it.
All right. Well, this was actually one that I wrote actually a couple of years ago, but never read on the air. And when I saw that picture, I thought it was a perfect time to bring it and finally read it on the air. And yes, I didn't choose a quote because they were all mine. This is just basically written to a conversation that Captain Ahab and his first mate Starbuck had during in the book. I'm not sure if it was included in the movie or not, but it was definitely in the book. And this is called Ahab, Beware Ahab. Please, Captain, please, though I am not on bended knees, so many innocent lives at stake and so many lives to take. Young and old on this ship so bold comprise this brave and crew. All out here now full of wrenching fear upon this ocean blue. Our hold now full of precious oil, our livelihoods in tow. But you have let your anger boil on this witch hunt we all go. Prophet Elijah has foreseen your death, yet we are with you too. You'll drag us all right by your side to a dark, watery grave, it's true. Will the white whale return your leg if he swallows your harpoon? Will all who've died come back to life because you've brought his doom? Let us turn around and head for home, back to safe Nantucket waters. Before Moby Dick drags the Pequod down, Ahab, beware Ahab, else we all be slaughtered. End poem.
This is perfect for the art, and like, I'm really glad that you wound up having a place to bring it and read it. The prophet Elijah has foreseen your death, yet we are with you too. You'll drag us all right by your side to the dark, watery grave. It's true. I thought the rhyme and all was good, but then so was I don't know if it will be a sea. Shanty, is that what they are? But it had to feel like it. Like I wanted you to any minute break into your pirate voice while you were reading for some reason. yeah, arg. but no, I thought that you did a great job presenting the story. But the first line, please, Captain, please, and though I am not on bended knees, so many innocent lives at stake and so many lives to take. It was pretty powerful right from the beginning. And so is the gift, so is the art. And your rhyme and flow here is really great. If he swallows your harpoon, I don't know why, but that made me think of Jaws when they were trying to do anything they could. It would be like the same thing, except this is what... 100 times bigger than Jaws, probably not that big, but I mean, I thought that this was really, really great. And who knows, maybe it'll be a place that I pull a future quote from. But it's really awesome. I enjoyed listening to it. And let me get you some comments. Heather, are you set up yet, or?
I'm really frustrated. yeah, you guys don't want to hear it.
Okay, I'll take that as a note, dear heart, and I will see what Raconteur thought of that.
Hatter sank his dinghy. I said this is a whale of a piece, Stephen, and you know the whale puns are just going to keep on coming. So, I'm just spouting. Anyway, I liked it. I mean, you know, you had the story without you know repeating anything about the story. The feeling that the crew would have had of this fool's quest, you know, is beautifully encapsulated in this, and the futility of you know trying to seek revenge for his leg, you know, it's not going to get your leg back, you know, your leg's still going to be gone. That thought, you know, and that just adds to the you know why are we doing this thought. So it really sings kind of like a sea shanty, I guess. It was a lovely piece.
Thanks, Rick.
Comment. And Adam, what did you think?
Yeah, I love the tale. I love his focusing on this moment, which is actually a great moment. Like if you think about it in full aspect, it's the moment to turn back. It's the moment you're being confronted with choice, and it's presented to you. You know, you're called out on your insanity or your, you know, your blind revenge that will doom everything, and you have it all. You know, it's like sort of like a it's awesome. It's a, you know, it's a classic point in a good story, you know, where there's a turn back point, you know, where it's not too late, you know, and it's presented to him like on a silver platter and just done beautifully, like, you know, the rhythm of this whole piece and the lyrical nature. Now I almost want to try to turn it into a shanty and, you know, go through it, but I'm not going to do it. Now I feel like Stephen needs to make a shanty piece because I know he could nail it. But it's awesome. I love it. It's fun, and it has a good, you know, moral edging to it. It's just like, I love that. I love that you pinpointed this moment that you, and I know that you've seen that, like, as that. I almost swear, yeah, you might have chosen for that purpose alone, that it was that moment where there's a choice to change the outcome of, like, almost like a damned future, like a certainty, like, right? It's like there's no getting off this, but there is this chance, but you know that who the captain of this ship is lost his mind and it's over. But, like, he has the choice presented to him still. And end comment.
Thank you.
I'm a wailing babbler.
Great comment. And Sweet, can you comment for Stephen?
Absolutely. I loved this poem, and I'm glad you brought it out, because it would be a shame if none of us got to hear it. I love its darkness, its humor, its storytelling. I love your fascination with everything in between, the shark, the whale, the lakes. It kind of has all of that passion of yours in one poem I don't know, it's kind of, if anyone would say to me, you know, hey, Stephen likes all these things and I found this poem, I would be like, hey, I have to read this poem to Stephen. But it makes more sense that you wrote it, because this kind of has a little bit of you in every little bit of it. So I just kind of want to, like, if I could make a stamp or say, hey, this stamp of approval comes from Stephen, or this is the stamp of Stephen's poetry, this would be one of those poems. So I think it's cool because it's got a little bit of you in almost every line.
Thanks, Sweet.
Great comment. And Okay, let me see here. I put my poem on the board. And, oh, I forgot at the beginning of the show that I just wanted to shout out to Titus. Titus, I hope you feel better. Stephen, he was not able to finish his poem or make a recording for tonight because he had to go to the hospital. And I don't know, you know, other than to say that they told him he'd be better in about 10 days. And part of the issue has to do with his voice. So I just wanted you to know that he won't be able to make it tonight. We all hope you feel better, Titus. And Gerald is away in Mexico for the month at a beautiful condo. So just so you know. Okay. Now, if you click on mine, it is... Oh, I also wrote to... Why did... I sort of wrote to two of them, number three and number five. I wrote to the moon skims the shimmering surface, and I blended it with winter's wind sings a lullaby against the window pane. And the poem is called Songs on the Winter Winds. And here we go. Laying on the pillow top bed, listening to the winter's breeze, at the little log cabin by the lake, as the moon climbs over the trees. My eyes stare out the window glass, gazing at the shine over the waters. Then as ripples mark the surface, the opal moon reflection blurs. Wind parts the floating clouds. Now the starlight is glittering too, freckling the lake with a sparkle that dots silver onto the ebony view. On the outside of the window panes, two tall sentinel tree trunks stand, swinging like a couple dancers from the gusts blowing to land. The maple by the holly bush shakes trunk rock and roll sign, waving at the sycamore branches, flanking the lake's bank wooded line. In the whispering breeze that blows, with all the gushes and whooshes, earth sings nighttime lullabies, tossing leaves and bushes. And boom. And I put that, something, after I finished it, this little thing popped into my head. So I wrote in my author's notes, nature's three-part sonata, in the moonlight tides, on rippled water rides, and in the sounds from the trees, playing on the winter breeze. So it was like a twofer. But look at that picture. Don't you see that the tree on the right is holding up the rock and roll, you know, the pinky and the pointer, and you put up the rock and roll sign? Like, that's what I see in that branch. I thought it was the coolest thing.
Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that. Well, I have to say that you penned a beautiful scene with your words here, Deb. A log cabin is something that Kay and I have always wished to have, and by the lake is someplace I've always wished to live. So you kind of, you know, brought me to my perfect place with this, I think. And watching the stars and the moon glittering off the water, I think that this is just really, really it's very beautiful. I don't know what else to say.
That was a great compliment. Thanks so much. Yeah, I know what you mean. When the stars and the moon hit the water, and then the wind makes the top ripple, and the whole scene's glittering, and it's just like, it lights up the whole edge, all the edges on the shores or the banks of the lake and stuff. Yeah. And I know that you guys like to sit by the side of the lake and like have an ice cream cone or just look at the beauty together. So I thought it was a great tie-in to throw in the lake. And you know, of course, on the side, when it was daytime, you were fishing. But yeah, okay. Now, I'm going to go and get... Hatter, can you read your poem yet? Are you...
Give me about 5 minutes. Give me about a couple minutes. I'll be ready.
Let me get you some more comments, Deb. I don't know if everybody's still here, but I'll get a comment from Adam. What'd you think?
This is thoughtful, and I love the beauty of observing nature and finding that extra connection. You know, that just there's definitely a great reverence here for that, and it's so soft too. You know, and adding what you mentioned, adding those little touches of personal, knowledge into it for them and him is a sentimental thing. And I think that sentiment even kind of comes through the piece as these great observations of the nature around you that you're envisioning in what Stephen called his perfect place. So that's, wow, it's cool. And I love that your extra lines that you just couldn't, you had to keep going and added that in. Yep. Those are very, I really enjoyed that. I love that you were so inspired. It's cool. It's a good piece.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Excellent. And Racketeer.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. I thought Sweet was going to run comments, otherwise I would have jumped in for you too. I really enjoyed this, Deb. I would say there's as much Stephen in this as there is Ahab's foot in the whale. I thought it was great. And those lines that you kind of tagged along deserve to be have their own place, I think, on the site.
Oh, what a nice comment. Thank you so much. And let's say hello to Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Sorry I'm late. I'm busy.
Better late than never.
Good to be here.
Glad you're here.
Yes.
And I was just about, not to read back-to-back, but I don't know how long Angel has on the board there, so I am putting up her poem so she gets to hear it. And I will read for her. If everyone would go ahead and click on that poem. And that is called Two Become One by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Oh, sorry. The quote she wrote to is, "The moon skims the shimmering surface." And here we go. Tranquil these smoky gray and violet lights. The moon skims the shimmering surface, wrapped in the soft glow of moonlight. You are all the wonders that I ever yearned to see. The moon skims the shimmering surface of early morning dew on linen petals, the blooms we affectionately call love flowers. Wrapped in the soft glow of moonlight, I can feel your heart beat like a drum, making sweet, melodious music with mine. You are all the wonders that I yearn to see. I'm drawn in, surrendering my will to yours. Our two worlds soon become one. End poem. Beautiful piece, Angel. And I like the fact that you put Stephen's quote in twice and sort of wrapped the rest of the words around it. I thought that was a nice touch. I think that the part in the beginning, tranquil, the smoky gray and violet lights, the moon skims the shimmering surface. There's something about those two lines that paint such a gorgeous picture. And I like that you pulled the color in and tied it later on to the love flowers, which there's the beautiful pictures in the piece, and then there's the linen petals, the blooms we affectionately call love flowers. So that the tenderness, the ambiance, I thought that it came out quite beautifully, and it as many are when you send a poem in on a Monday. It's a multi-award-winning poem. Congratulations on all those trophies there. And I think that you did a great job with the art and Stephen's quote. Appreciate you for sending it in. And Stephen, what did you think?
I definitely agree with you how beautiful this piece is. I love the verbiage. You know, the queen of romance is Heavenly Angel, and she brought it again here. I also like the refrain to those certain lines that she brought in, because I think that also emphasizes the romance and the moonlit imagery throughout the piece. I thought this was an excellent write.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
I thought this was such a lovely poem. I like the line where he said, "I can feel your heart beat like a drum." That's just a great line. A great line there. She's sweet always. She's a good love poem. And another line, like those two, our two worlds could soon become one. It's another good line. Just a good poem always. Just a lovely little poem. She's full of so much, full of love. I wish I had half that love she does. Great job.
Great comment. And Raconteur, what did you think?
Yeah, I like that she mentioned that the two become one, because, you know, when you talk about two worlds becoming one, that the relationship metaphor in that is beautiful. And, you know, we're sharing the world with nature too, so she brings that thought into it. It's like all of her writing, it was beautiful.
Awesome comment. And Adam, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. It was true, like, definitely romantic beyond, and just it bloomed like a flower as you read it, and really captures that picture, if not beyond the picture, but it, I mean, when looking at that picture, I really feel like I'm sucked in through her words into that moment, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Top to bottom, it's a great piece. I love it. I was really taken back by it. I love the thought and romance in it. And often, you know, she always does a great job in that vein. So it's just, but this was really, I don't know, there's something about it too. It's very, in my comment I mentioned that it was votive, and it's like that, you know, and as a flower, it's almost like, you know, giving this to somebody as a declaration or a vow in some way that we will, you know, then it just marries into the whole romance and the thought. Gorgeous.
Fantastic comment. Thank you very much. And Hatter, can you comment yet?
Oh, not yet. Sorry. I am done now.
I just want to keep checking.
Sure. Thank you.
And see here. So does that also mean that you can't read yet?
I just finished. I can. I'll put it up. Oh, yeah. Team of Voices right there on top. Come on. God darn it.
Where are the 18s?
Not letting the description.
About the description in there. That's what I'm
thinking.
Okay,
there it is. Okay, got it.
Oh, wow, you place. Put it up yourself. Awesome, go for it.
I know. Yeah. The Firefox thing. I found myself without my dreams. And I wrote to the fifth quote. Writer's wind sings a lullaby against the window pane, watching streaks. Oh, yeah, against the window pane. And I start out with that line. I can do that, right? I can use the line in the poem? Or have I not
No, you got
to
put it all again.
Yeah, I only put it, I put a notation not to if the poet requests, and Stephen didn't.
Oh. Okay. yeah, I always screw it up. So okay. Goes like this. Now I got to explain. I wrote the poem, and I needed a final edit. I walked away and did something that I needed to get done for my roommate. And I got back, I couldn't find where I flipping wrote it. So from memory, I tried writing another one. While doing that and finishing up the other one, I found the one I wrote first. So I tried to get them. I know, and it's sort of a mess. So if you hear lines that repeat, that's why. Okay, go like this. Winter's wind sings a lullaby against the window pane, watching streaks run incomplete on a deadly rainstorm game. I found myself without my dreams, walking circles on movie screens, picnic places with poetic faces, writing words to be set free, holding down what was found from the words of poetry, chasing down a rain cloud, trying to hitch a ride, standing still to get my thrills, just trying to get inside. Smiles from grills while standing still, the wind blows in my ears, jumping waves for a thousand days, hiding for what you fear. Where she goes, the wind still blows. No one asks her name, standing back to view the facts, to understand she's gone insane. And Dorian Blue, it looked like you. What else could you be? Stepping down without a sound, you begin to look like me. Wandering back where I heard the screams, watching things I've never seen. Willow winds whisper when tying air to frozen strings, dragging styles for 100 miles, knowing everything. Wishing for a rainstorm to wash away the lines, keeping close the memories I once thought were mine. Holding empty bottles, the potion once filled, tripping down the reason, believing that it's real. Melodies of blackbirds singing for the sky, 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 running down the rainbow, asking someone why. Inform. I know it's so long.
I really like it. It's just I have to laugh because you are totally addicted to sky, 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 and I like the fact that you have little nods there, such as I heard what would that be, sampling from the word you cannot say. I heard it in there somewhere. Of course, now I can't find it, but. I really like that.
Chasing down a rain cloud, trying to hit the ride, standing still to get my thrills.
Okay, but you know, I don't think that you should change it. I think that I like the way it turned out. I would change one little thing, though. Maybe you could take away the number 5 at the beginning, because that made me giggle. But like, I like when you start writing and it just carries you away, because like you come up with beautiful things like willow winds whisper when trying air to frozen strings, dragging styles for 100 miles, knowing everything. But like the little pieces, holding empty bottles and the potion once filled, tripping down a reason, believing that it's real. And of course, like I said, I already said the sky, 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 but you better watch out, because I just noticed that you also tripled that Y at the end, and just what you need is another saying.
Why, why, why? Every time you hear the word,
you'd be walking around, why, why, sky, sky, sky.
Make me shy, shy, shy.
Right? Smiles
bye,
from
bye,
girls
bye.
While standing still. The wind blows in my ears, jumping waves for 1,000 days, hiding from what you fear. Like I said, that you had several different emotions that went in there, but if you really think about it, you could tie each one of them to the wind or changes or emotions. So I thought that was pretty clever. I mean, if it was by accident.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to... And Dorian Blue, it looks like you. What else could you be? Stepping down without a sound, you begin to look like me. But it's so hatter, and it's got so many little pieces that are a nod to Stephen, or things that tie us together. I thought this came out really great, Hatter. Great job, and like you said earlier, sometimes when you lose a poem and then you try to rewrite it, it comes out better. I bet you that's the case here. Because I really like it. Just saying.
Well, you know, I can see which ones, you know, the two poems and where I plugged in the first one. Because I wrote it, I noticed it a bit. And I respect you too. The cadence changes it throughout. If you notice that. But that should be okay too. Thank you.
Awesome. And Stephen, what do you think?
Well, one thing, I like the form. I like how it keeps switching back and forth to the from the four lines to two line stanzas. But I think that you have me thinking of Kaja Gugu a little bit with the Shy Shy instead of Sky Sky. But anyway, to me, what I was seeing is the dreams that fade, not just like the dreams that you had during the night that fade when you wake up, but those dreams that you had when you were a kid that are, as I said in my quote that I just left for you, that are slain by the reality of the searing pains of adulthood. How's that? I thought this was a great writer.
When I was a kid, I had heard, I don't know where, that to write down your dreams and to have, when you wake up, write them down and see if what you remember, because they'll disappear on you. And I did that, I don't know for how long, I think I was fifth grade, sixth, maybe seventh, something like that. And I'd go back and read it. Bizarre. Fuck, this is, I don't know why I did it. I can't understand what it is.
Why?
Because if you write it generically, you read it back and go, well, that's a dream. Oh, big deal, you know. But when you try to get it, the details, it doesn't read well. When you're a seventh grader, I guess.
How about if I get a comment from Raconteur?
Yeah, I enjoyed this chatter. You know, I don't think anything needs to be changed down to the why. That's, you know, almost, well, it follows the thought. It's not that he's going to keep repeating why. It was the alliteration of sky, sky, sky. It just flowed. I mean, I'm sure that's the excuse that whatever that band that bye, you know, they did it too. So it's a thing. It's a thing. I'd rather associate it with you than them, to be sure.
you know where that started? If you listen to the beginning of Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Yep.
The beginning, you'll hear a why. So that's what I did. So I sent her the song. I said, hey, this is where it comes from. She listened to the song and goes, yo, what the hell? She didn't understand that it was just the beginning.
Yeah, thanks. Another earworm.
It's like telling somebody your dreams.
Yeah.
In detail. Yeah, it doesn't share well either.
Hey, Wayne, what do you think?
I love Hatter's style. It's that internal rhyme was wonderful. I tried to write like that lately, and I didn't have to no avail. I couldn't do it at all. So all I can say is I'm stepping down without a sound. You begin to look like me. That's cool. That's a cool line you got there. And you give me smiles from grills, from stainless steel. The wind blows through my ears. I like it, Hatter. You did a great job in these lines. Just stick with you for a while. Great job. Very poetic.
Thank you. Thank you, Wade.
You got it.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Adam?
Yeah, I thought this was wild. I love, like, you know, Hatter giving us the inside scoop on a lot. It's cool. It's like, you know, it gives us a little, like, because I, you know, with that, but, you know, he set it up, so it's like, I don't know if I would have noticed. So now, like, when he mentioned it was two pieces, and you could, you know, he was saying it's kind of evident, and he's like, maybe you will find it. He's like, he definitely knows. I was kind of, like, waiting for those positions to present themselves, which I feel like it did, but then, like, there's a turn when, like, it makes sense that it happened. So he made sense of the, you know, these two opposing poems that I don't know if they would have had the same ideas with them, because it's, cause I get a feeling in this poem that leaves me in I feel like confusion. I feel like a lot of these different emotions, and like I'm seeking truth, but also through a vanity of a fog of lies that I tell myself, but yet. You know, it's like this weird, I'm talking to myself, but somebody else, and then that almost like that feeling presents itself, and like this, he's like, you know, he gets that point with the acknowledgement of, but you look, you know, you're just like me, you look just like me or whatever. And it really just has that feel and odd mystery of familiarity that I love. He always throws me for, you know, I always feel the, you know, slight nudges of reaching into nostalgic, you know, and like Stephen had mentioned, that is a strong, you know, idea here too, is the, you know, that I love that, and I love that line because that's how I thought of it too, the dreams that fade, you know, not anything like a, you know, the dream of, you know, riding backwards buck naked on a hybrid horse or whatever of some dog through rainbows and, you know, Jupiter's moons, but, you know, like the dreams that, oh, I want to be this when I, you know, in adulthood comes or reality hits you, and then you're looking through remnants of that, and almost like set aside of that, it's like trying to sift through that like it was a dream haze. Like, didn't I have things I wanted to do with my life? There's a lot of questioning here and introspection that I like, but also it feels very kind of you know, the narrator or the topic of the person in it is confused, but also seeking, trying to wade through it and finding answers, but still a mystery. I loved it, obviously.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you looked at it, you could probably pick the pieces out of the two poems. You could probably separate them. The idea was similar, and I tried to keep that constant. But, you know, it almost got away from me. I'm going to stop for a second.
Came out great.
So,
awesome comment. And my sweet, will you comment for Hatter and then tell us the comments that you wrote too?
First off, Hatter is a brilliant piece, or a few pieces or whatever. However, they meld together, and you, as always, have excellent line. You have, you know, this beautiful story that comes together. My favorite thing in there is, takes me down a rain cloud trying to hitch a ride, standing still to get my thrill, just trying to get inside. I love that, standing still to get my thrill. Yeah, sometimes that's what you got to do, because sometimes you're chasing that thrill so much that you actually forget to stand still and enjoy that moment. So I really like the kind of metaphorical hint that you put in there for that. I thought that was pretty brilliant. Way to be, my darling, always brilliant. I actually wrote to two quotes on my piece. I wrote to the gates of hell may go unseen, but here it's squealing through misty keen. Transparent eyes go wide indeed, reaching out to intercede, and nestling under flannel sheets and cuddle with quick purring beats. So those are the two quotes that inspired this poem. And I really love that picture. So this is Dreamcatcher and Sweet Pea. Fear swallows peaceful slumber, under Dante's spell, the body lumbers. Muscles twitch in useless motion, and the devil's tongue comes screams of devotion. Monochrome movies flash its fade, eyes wide open, see scenes in bright color shades. Beyond the horizon, imps played on clouds in icy rain. Cradled in claws of ancient dragons, too old to have a name. Fall into the darkness of sleep, where memories lay in the deep. Like poison ivy vines they crawl, to slaughter you in a dreamy fall. But I stand between the realms of life, we've lived so well, the beginning and the end, and we have 2001 more adventures to begin. I shall guard the window to your soul as it travels through the universe from young to old. Never will I leave you alone, for love always guides you to your comfort zone, to her, the one you call home. End poem.
Well, sweet. I love the title that you gave it, Dreamcatcher. I think that's fantastic. Fear swallows a peaceful slumber. Under Dante's spell, the body lumbers. Muscles twitch in useless motions, and the devil's tongue comes screams of devotion. I was like, whoa. I like that you mentioned Dante there, because you put us in the realm of hell right there from the get-go. And then you mentioned the devil's tongue comes screams of devotion. It was like, whoa, excuse me. And then down a little further, fell into the darkness of sleep where memories lay in the deep. Like poison ivy vines, they crawl to slaughter you in a dreamy fall. And I think that you did a stellar job with the rhyme. Let me start there. And then that one stanza that I just finished, fall into the darkness of sleep where memories lay in the deep, like poison ivy vines, they crawl to slaughter you in a dreamy fall. And I could almost hear Vincent Price there, because it had that same kind of feel as the darkness crawls across the land, the midnight hour closes. So it just took me into that one. And then I shall guard the window to your soul as it travels through the universe from young to old. What an amazing way, in my opinion, to say, like your life passing before your eyes, it travels from young to old. It's just like, wow, and the wind is to your soul. But it would be on the mind's eye that you would see the travels through the universe. I thought this was really brilliant, and who would have thought that you would have come up with something like this to the picture, for one. I wanted to try and put a whole bunch of variety so that it tickled, you know, someone, but I didn't know. This was too cool to pass up, but I didn't know where somebody would take it. But, wow, sweet. I like the way you blended it with the feel and the quotes and the art, and like I said, brilliant title to take us from a dream catcher into the levels of hell. What, Dante's rings of hell? Really,
yeah.
Really wicked. Fantastic, right?
Thank you.
Stephen, what you think?
Well, I'm a Stephen King buff and a movie buff, so you give me that title and I automatically think Stephen King, because I love the book Dreamcatcher and the movie Dreamcatcher. But I think the quotes that you chose, you went from dark to light, and I thought that you blended darkness and light in this poem very well. There was one stanza that made me think of sleep paralysis, actually. The second stanza had imagery of sleep paralysis to me, which is a very terrifying thing. If you've never gone through it, it's horrible. But you end the poem with home, where love protects all. I thought this was a great piece, sweet.
Thank you.
And Rock and Tour.
I'm a fan. the way you paint the pictures and pull us into the mood of the piece, it's just inviting as well as frightening at the same time. I love the way that you do that. You know, that's a uniquely beautiful tribute for him.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And who do I have next? Wayne, please.
Yes, hello. This poem is wonderful. Poem is blended the young and the old, and the beginnings and the ends, and kind of like daydreaming, the dream and reality. It's a nice poem for a nice job with all around. It's a great job with picture prompt too. I got picture prompt right in with it. I love the stanza, fall into the darkness of sleep, where memories lay in the deep, like poison ivy vines they crawl, to swallow you in a dreamy fall. That is a wonderful, wonderful there. And also at the end of where he said, I should guard your window to your soul. That's another great line there. You did good with this poem, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. CP?
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Hatter, can you comment?
Yeah, towards the end, I had a flash of when I went back home, when I went back to the village I grew up in, and everything changed. Everything was different. All the beautiful things were gone, and it just broke my heart and saddened me because I expected a positive lift, you know, to go back home. I needed that, and it wasn't there. I got that in the last line. I shall guard the window to your souls. It travels through the universe from young to old. Never will I leave you alone. For love always guides you to your comfort zone to hear the one you call home. It was home. That was the one that got me there. Very good. Not
thank
twisted
you.
And not disturbing. Okay.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And Adam, will you comment for Sweet and then tell us what quote you wrote for?
Okay. I thought this was beautifully and creatively imaginative, taking the picture, the quotes, and the wonderful write she gave us. I love that she kind of mentions Dante's Inferno, and it gives us, and this character, these two characters almost, it's, you know, it's, this, I feel like it's a Virgil type. I kind of wrote it in my written comment. I just want to, you know, it's like there's this guide or dream catcher type that's protecting you, like a guardian angel. You know, I mean, it's almost like this is a guardian angel speaking to you wherever you go and wherever you are. You know, they're going to be there right at that window, like, you know, the window of your soul, and be there to, what a dream catcher does, it catches the darkness and protects you. You know, it's a protective thing, and she wrote it, and I just love it. I almost chose this picture myself, and I was going to try to do something not of that nature, but, like, you know, different direction. It's like, I love that, you know, her mind is so abstract and different, where she's going to go that direction, you know, that she wrote for us. You know, as Rack said, I'm a fan, too. I love, always love her pieces, let it be, you know, whatever it may be, but This was cool. There's some interesting nods, I think, hidden that I'm not exactly catching offhand. But I loved it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Great comments, everyone. Awesome poem, my sweet. And Adam, please tell us which Stephen quote you wrote to, and then show us the chat.
All right, right. The quote was, a glow invades squinting eyelids, endeavoring to unremember. Number 8. And this is called The Ghost Remembers. Cobalt slate skies creep in as whispers. Among the willows and pines, a memory long buried howls. From unknowns of phantom past, lulls in silence echo cotton sound. Fear lingers sheer and unveiled, reaching in lucid nightmare, fingering feverishly into reality, the palpable and familiar unslaked thirst. It drags me back through better folded forgotten paths, deep and overgrown against the trails of life, shoveled and heaving buried guilt. Cleansed in black smeared tide, the wreckage of my own sabotage aligns, listless drifts inside, guided but by one faulty headlight, blinks in thought the shuddering breath. Into the wilderness I mistook as me, the monster buried leaves hazy steps upon all I am or was or would be. Seek the beast of self if I can remember so, jagged shredded stones of a grudge I hold. Where my antithesis dwelt, coddled in the cold shivers of woe, a mire arisen of malice, you can always sink in the same fog. You can always sink in the same bog twice. Gluttonous in pain, the noose slips limp. Unlike the river which flows and moves as melody serene, the darkness sticks and cling, tightening. A fatal, absent, reminiscent mirror, fogged in breath, ghostly as misty air. Warning warmth elopes with aching choke, swamping sink swallows me whole. Glowing lit of lantern squinting blink, I endeavored folly in seeking him who I unremembered, whom now invades. I haunt myself. Don't anchor yourself in ghosts. End peace.
Wow. Into the wilderness I mistook as me, the monster's buried leaves, hazy steps. Upon all I am or was or would be, seek the beast of self I can remember so. Jagged, shredded stones of a grudge I hold. That's a really, really powerful stanza right there. Wow. What was that other? Unlike the river which flows and moves as melody serene, this darkness sticks to cling, tightening, and fatal absent, reminiscent mirror, fogged in breath, ghostly as misty air. I mean, the visuals there are fantastic. But I really think that the stanza with the wilderness that you mistook as me is my favorite stanza. It's really, really good. And back towards the beginning, fear lingers sheer and unveiled, reaching its lucid nightmare, fingering feverishly into reality, the palpable and familiar, unslaked thirst. I thought that you went deep and really brought the image to life, especially with your title, The Ghost Remembers. The ghost remembers. You're not remembering the ghost. The ghost remembers. There's something really scary about that title. You pulled me in. I thought you did a fantastic job, and it went really great with the art and the quote. So, fabulous share. Appreciate
Thank you
supporting you. The show. And Stephen, what did you think?
Well, I like this a lot. And as I said with Sleep Foam, I am a movie buff, and I am also a well-known Trekkie as well. And this had me thinking of a scene, as I mentioned in my comment, from Star Trek V, where the man named Cybok would take your pain away by making you revisit it and also share it with you. But it also has this thing about how the pain can't be taken away. It's always there. And it had me thinking of a quote from Captain Kirk, which I put in my comment, where he says, you know that pain and guilt can't be taken away with a wave of a magic wand. They're the things that we carry with us, the things that make us who we are. If we lose them, we lose ourselves. I don't want my pain taken away. I need my pain. This speaks deeply of past mistakes and trauma, but also that inner monster that we all hide. Some of us tether it with chains, while others with bungee cords, and others let it run free. I thought this was an excellent way to end.
Thank you, Stephen. Glad you like it. You brought some Trekkie stuff in. That was cool. I love that.
Awesome comment. And, Rack, what did you think?
Read the other one.
Rack and Tour? I don't hear Rack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have I'm having problems fighting with
Period.
The speakerphone. Yes, it was lovely. All that for it was lovely. Yeah, I'm sitting here fighting with the phone, like trying to say something coherent, and then the phone just like, yeah. Sorry.
No worries. Thanks.
No problem. And Hatter?
Read the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is intense in the read. Adam, have you ever rhymed?
Oh, don't start.
I just want to know if you've ever rhymed.
I don't like it. I
okay.
I can do it. I don't. I like I told, like I mentioned to you in AP before, learn it to unlearn it.
Yeah. No. I just wondered if he had. Yeah. Because this has got a nice flow to it, and it would. I saw many places where it's a sickness in my head, man. You use great string of words like jagged shredded stones. That's a piece. Very good.
Thanks, Adder. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I'm anti-rhyme, as many know.
I'm not trying to tell you to rhyme. I just asked if you have.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate it. I know you didn't mean it that like a jab or anything.
He lied.
No,
he wants
to
rhyme.
Okay. I wish I didn't rhyme.
It almost rhymes. This is almost a rhymer. It almost
rhymes.
It wants to rhyme. Don't let AP hear you. Don't let AP hear you.
It has the flow. It has that flow.
They say you could write the 19 verses that don't rhyme. You have two rhyming lines somewhere in it, and they call it a rhyming poet. So.
Yeah.
Well, I think if his rhymes, he did it by accident. Just saying. But Wayne, will you comment for Adam and then tell us what quote your poem is to?
Yeah, yes, I can. You did a great job, Adam, with blending the picture with the quote. This reminds me of a dark, foggy evening and worrying about the surrounding imaginary creatures around you. I like the line, you can always think into the same bog twice. It's a great line. Your scripture is wonderful, and your voice is great reading it. Your voice put the poem and put a nice spooky mood to it. Good job, I loved it all the way through. Good job.
Heck yeah, thanks, Wayne.
And it sounded nothing like a sea shanty.
Unfortunately, yeah, no.
This is true. Okay, so Wayne, tell us which quote you chose to write to.
I used the quote, Shimmering Across the Surface. I don't remember exactly what the quote said, but it's about shimmering across the surface, and same one that Hillary used. And it's about fishing. Steve was a fisherman, so I wrote about fishing.
Awesome. All right. Well, if everyone clicks on his poem, I will push the recording.
This is called Peaceful Fishing. Bluegill danced with largemouth bass. Both stood silently as Prince Perch passed. Flannel fisherman gripped tangled web net. Denim dust giggled, eyeing scarlet sunset. Wiggling worm wept when hooked with purpose as the moon skimmed the shimmering surface. Stars purged as the captain caught catfish. Shooting star sang when dropping a wish. Breakfast breeze planted daffodil dew. Sound of silence echo through the hue. Goldenrod ray announced at daily dawn as sockeye salmon marched to spawn. And
wow, Wayne. For starters, there was something very tranquilly beautiful about the background music that you chose. It was just perfect end of the day, excuse me, peaceful type of music. And the music itself went perfectly with the art you chose. And I liked the fact that you started off here, of course, on this peaceful fishing trip with a bluegill that danced with largemouth bass. I mean, must be a fisherman's dream right there to have them right there dancing. Both stood silently as Prince Perch passed. flannel fisherman gripped, tangled web. Now, you made that, I just butchered that line, but you made it just sound every bit as peaceful as the title as you were reading. And I've never heard any kind of a conversation that had to do with a wiggly worm sound so breathtaking before. There was just something in the read, the music, the tone in your voice, the peaceful fishing title, all the way through. It was just really a tranquil experience. And I like the breakfast breeze planted a daffodil dew, the sound of silence echoed through Hugh. It was a gorgeous brevity, Wayne.
Thank you.
Great job with
Thank
the recording. Stephen, what you think?
Yeah, I thought this was pretty cool. I was really digging the fishing and fish terminology and the alliteration as always, too. This made me think of night fishing, which I used to love to do. So this brought back some memories. I used to sit on the bank of the river in tight line during the night. This is really awesome, Wayne. Very cool.
Yeah, that piece of zing it, fishing at night.
Yeah, it's definitely a beautiful, peaceful picture of fishing at night. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the only fish I ever caught was Billy Big Mouth Bass, but when you did this, Wayne, you definitely had the images of a serene fishing thing. Except, because it was you, I had visions of, the women that you have chained up to produce this music for you. So it kind of detracted from it a little bit in the back of my brain, but it added to it in a way because I knew Stephen would appreciate it. So, the way you put it together and everything, everyone comments on it. You've got a style all your own, and you definitely own it. It was beautiful, Wayne.
Thank you, David Rack. Appreciate it, man.
Awesome comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, Rack, you got to get your words straight. It's Mickey's Big Mouth and a large mouth bass, not a big mouth bass. Just saying. No, night fishing's so much fun. You just need a pier, a dock, or a sandy beach. Campfire, drinking, hoping the fish doesn't bother you after a while. You just don't want them. Did I mention drinking? Yeah, drinking.
You might have mentioned it once or twice.
Okay.
Awesome comment.
Very good.
And my sweet, what did you say?
I do love night fishing, and I've done some of that, and yeah, I like the sand and the beach and the dock, but I've also done night fishing in the Louisiana Bayou and alligator eyes and stumps and snakes, not the same at all.
Gators.
Yeah, not a good. Yeah, but the poem, stunning, imagery, mood, music, Wayne, you are the master of all of that. Putting all that together is great. And I know Stephen loves to fish. And, it is largemouth bass. It's walleye. It's pike. It's whatever you can pull out of Lake Erie. You just don't eat it. Other than that, you're good.
Can't eat it? Oh, man.
I don't think you can because the mercury level is still too high in Lake Erie. But I'm not sure if they changed that.
That's why Deborah Lee was butchering it, so you could eat it.
Thanks, Rick.
I can remember Lake Erie was on fire.
No, that was the river.
The river.
Oh, my goodness.
We got warnings in our river. The warnings are for pregnant people, pregnant ladies, and small children do not eat the fish out of the rivers.
Yeah.
Now that, to me, says nobody eat the damn fish out of the rivers.
Yeah.
I agree. Wow. Okay. Adam, will you comment on Wayne's poem, please.
Yeah, this was awesome. I love the placid feel of it, just like you were talking about, tranquility, serenity. The music added another layer, even though they're begrudged, chained, you know, geishas, I guess, or something of that nature. it's a wonderful piece. He's fishing with the opposite of dynamite. He's fishing with his cool chill, like the breeze. And I love Wayne. His writing's always got, like Rack said, a style all his own. His voice comes through strong, and it's a great piece. I love his alliteration too. He's becoming the king of the king alliterine, and
alliterine
king. So it's cool, man. It was, and the idea. What I really love is that there's this cohesiveness between nature, man, reader, and writer. And I put that in my written comment. There's like a centering that happens between all aspects of this piece. The reader, the writer, narrator, poet, and what's happening within it. It really all kind of comes together. It gels just right. And I loved it.
Oh, great comment.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. Okay, now, let me see. Here's the deal, everyone. I have another poem on the board by Pee Wee that Sweet's going to read in a moment. But I thought right about now I would have Stephen tell us about Thursday's show coming up at Poetic Slice.
Yeah. Get over there so I don't mispronounce the name. Yeah, we just have the one show this week, the Poetic Inklings, Thursday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It is our visit with the Artist of the Year, Lisa Esfato. Kay found about a dozen more paintings from her to write to. A lot of them have a bit of a Valentine's Day theme. Pick a painting and see what it takes you. And that's 7:30 on Thursday.
Awesome. And here on A Team of Voices, tomorrow night, Sky takes us on a journey at 8 p.m. She says she's not jumping down the tube and showing us some crazy stuff this month. She would like you to discuss love, any kind of love. For instance, what it does to the body, interpersonal relationships, or the mechanical behind attractions, but of course it has to be PG-13. She also said you could bring a poem on love that doesn't have to be about a partner. It can be about your cat, your kids, any way that you would like to share love. The theme is
well, you know what they say.
After all,
you know what they say, love stinks.
They do say that. They say it hurts.
It hurts. Too.
Love stinks.
Yep. See, there we go. Watch out. Love bites. And again,
that's good night.
Yeah. And then I will have the beautiful Sweet tell us about Thursday.
I will be on at 9 instead of 8 because Stephen and Kay are on at 7:30, so we'll bump my show till 9. And it is Dance, God, now I can't even remember my name of my own freaking show, but it's, I hate when
is
I do that.
Is it the squared one?
No, it is Dance
in the
Blood
of my Broken Heart.
Yeah, Dance in the Blood of My Broken Heart, which is simultaneously has a contest in it, and it's all about broken hearts and rejection and anything else you want to come and dance in the blood of my broken heart. Just write. It's a picture prompt. It is two people dancing from a beautiful pair of lips that is dripping blood. So that is wonderful imagery. It also has some quotes from Romney. Attached to it, you can write to the quote or the quote in the picture, or the picture or the quotes, whichever you feel that you would like. Come join us. I really hope that everybody has some fun with it.
Yes. And I just have a quick question. The topic board says 10 Eastern. Is that wrong?
Yeah, I got to change it. I forgot to change it, but yeah, I do need to change it. That's
fine. I just wanted to shout that out so you could write it so people can see it before the show. And
yeah.
That takes us to Saturday night with Hatter and AP and myself, and the topic is bond, whether it be James or the bond of being two things being bonded together, wherever the word bond takes you. So that's the next few days coming up on both of the shows. And then one last quick note on upcoming stuff. Next week in the series where we are featuring our peers and their words, it is Crystal Hope, whose pieces of poetry I have pulled from, as well as I found this pretty funky art site called Butterfly Web Graphics, and they had some pretty cool stuff. So I paired Crystal's words with the Butterfly Web Company, and hopefully there's something there that will inspire you. I put the link on the board so that you can claim your art. First come, first serve. And on that note, again, I say we have one more poem that Sweet is going to read. And then, Stephen, I need you to give some thought to the fact that my outro show tonight will either be New York State of Mind or Piano Man. So you think about that for a moment. And, Sweet, I am grabbing the poem by Pee Wee and running it to the chat wall right now. And once you see it, if you would read, that would be fabulous. And I don't, yeah, you can please also say which quote you wrote to.
Okay. The quote he wrote to is, shadowed visions of death stream dwelling within gray matter cathedral. And this is Stitching Seas by Pee Wee Cousin. And I'm sorry if I swapped, but yeah, killed your last name. Stitching Seas. Memories of a thousand deaths continue lingering in my brain, meandering through my oblivion, carrying knots by name. Darkness dictates order here, transcending any rule of light. Eagle I see flying up ahead, though he shot down with flight. An image forever burned in memory, drawn together its life force and mine. It must have been drawn to me to enter this darkness of my design. Always the case, it seems, for anyone let me close to them, for anyone who let me close to them. Spirits cast out to the Stygian seas, forever lost are they my friends. Perpetually I'm left pondering this, wondering if I'll ever see daylight again. I'm doomed to unceasing blackness, eternally wandering in my oblivion. And poem.
Great read. Thank you, Sweet. And wow, what about that closing stanza? Let's start from the end here. Perpetually I'm left pondering this, wondering if I'll ever see daylight again. And I am doomed to unceasing blackness, eternally wandering in my oblivion. What a dreadful, sad, scary blend of wording in that closing stanza. I mean, perpetually I'm left pondering this, wondering if I'll ever see daylight again. Imagine not knowing if you're ever going to see daylight again. Just that is terrifying, because I'm not the biggest fan of the darkness. If it's constant and I truly can't see, and there is just something so
hopeless at the thoughts there. And now going backwards in the beginning there, while memories of 1,000 deaths continue lingering in my brain, meandering through my oblivion, carrying naught but my name. There was it was like a campfire story where you were successfully scaring the bejesus out of everybody because the images were so fantastic. Drawn together, its life force and mine. Even that felt spooky. I thought that you did an excellent job. And I can't, oh, the picture was like the edge of a lake and some driftwood pieces there. And there was all muted colors, so it goes with the feel of the poem. So he combined all the prompts quite well, and I'm very impressed with the darkness inside. But that closing stanza is really sticking with me. I tell you, wow, Stephen, what do you think?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of darkness in this piece, so it definitely fits the quote, I think. I told him in my comment that I feel like I see a lot of loss in this piece that pushes one into a deep depression that's possibly inescapable. And it also made me think of a movie as well, as I was reminded of a quote from the movie Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, where the one professor says that we seem to have reached the age where life stops giving us things and starts taking them away. I thought this was an excellent write.
Fantastic comment. And my sweet, you read, what you think?
Oh, I love the darkness of this poem. I mean, what is darkness but the opposite of light? So at some point, you had to know the joys of light to be so angry and upset about darkness. So, you know, I think that for when he's, you know, for anyone who let me close to them, spirits cast out to the Stygian seas, forever lost are they my friends. I think no one can ever wander in the darkness if they've ever known light. So I see the desperation and depression, but I don't know, because he's pondering if he'll ever see daylight again. You know, he's like, am I doomed? Am I not doomed? I don't think you're doomed, because you're hope. You have that hope of seeing daylight. So as much as darkness is in this poem, I think there's that glimmer of hope at the end, you know, because he's pondering daylight. He's hoping for daylight. So I like the darkness, as we all know, but I still see that glimmer of hope, because he has the memory of daylight, and he's waiting, and he's wanting, and he's hoping. So I like the end, that it ends that way.
Ooh, I like that comment, sweet. Thank you. And Hatter?
Unmuted. Yeah, I agree with sweet. When she goes, it must have been drawn to me to enter this darkness of my design. Always the case, it seems, for any who let me close to them, spirits cast out to the Stygian Sea. Forever lost are they, my friends. Yeah, it's self. What's the word? Self.
Deprecating.
Self-reflecting, taking the blame for, or knowing you were the one drawn to me in my darkness by design. Always the case, it seems. Yeah, I get the self-description of sadness.
Great comment, Heather.
Oh.
And Mr.
Oh.
You say Wayne?
Yes, sir.
This is a dark poem. I like it a lot. This is dark. Darkness dictates order here, transcending any rule of light. It's pure darkness. He likes the spirits of his friends. They all been cast out to sea. There's a spooky and wonderful detail in it, and a great job. It's a brightness. It's a good dark form, and I like the good dark forms. Good job.
Awesome comment. And the last poetical comment is for you, Backentor.
Well, I happen to have a unique perspective on the darkness since I actually lost my eyesight. So I have to cling to the metaphor of what he's talking about. But, you know, it's totally relatable. You know, the idea of the light and the dark when it comes to happiness. That's what comes through more than anything to me. we tend to, or at least for me, you know, in a situation that you have no control over, you know, when there's no choice, it's, you know, what Yoda do or don't do, there is no try, you know, it's either you do it or you don't. So, you know, if that's what you're faced with, then that's what you have to deal with. But in terms of, you know, hope, it tends to be a motivating factor because, you know, when you're at the bottom, you know, things can't get any worse, you know. Some of us tend to grab a shovel and keep digging just to prove that you can't get any lower. But, you know, that's another personality thing for me. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Great comment. I believe I, yep, okay, I just want to make sure I got everyone to comment. And I also would like to, again, shout out to Titus. I hope you feel better. And I would like to say that the judges and I got together and we closed out contest number 2 in the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation series. Congratulations to the winners. And keep your eye out for the March contest. There's one every month. And I want to say thank you to the board, Hatter and Sweet and AP. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Angel and Wayne and Pee-wee and Adam and Raconteur. I appreciate you all very much. And unless there's something that you needed to say, Stephen, I'm just going to read a little bit about Billy Joel, and then you can tell me which button to push.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, Deb, for the show, and thank you, everybody, who found inspiration from my quotes. I'm just a little old writer. That's all I do.
Well, your little old self inspired some pretty amazing poetry tonight. So keep the good lines coming. And tonight we're going to go out with one of Stephen's favorite singers, Billy Joel. And he's an American singer, pianist, songwriter, commonly nicknamed the Piano Man after his signature song of the same name. He has led a commercially successful... What?
Sorry. Merry Christy Brinkley.
He has led a commercially successful career as a solo artist since the 70s, and he's released 12 pop and rock studio albums from 71 to 93, as well as one studio album of classical compositions in 2001. He is one of the best-selling musical artists of all time, as well as the 7th best-selling recording artist and the 4th best-selling solo artist in the United States, with over 160 million records sold worldwide. In 1985, the compilation album, The Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and 2, is one of the best-selling albums in the United States. He was born in the Bronx, and he grew up in Long Island, where both places influenced his music. He took piano lessons at his mother's insistence after dropping out of high school to pursue a music career. He took part in 2 short-lived bands, The Hassles and Attila, before signing a record deal with Family Production and starting off his solo career in 1971 with his first release,
Cold Spring Harbor. And on that note, Stephen.
You know who he is? He's sort of our Sinatra.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll probably disappoint a few people and say that, you know, Piano Man gets hurt a lot, so why don't we go with New York State of Mind?
Yeah.
Got it. Well, that's what I was hoping you would say. Cool. And thank you, everyone. Love and respect.
See you guys.
In a New York state of mind. I've seen all the movie stars in their fancy cars and their limousines. Been high in the Rockies, under the evergreens. I know what I'm needing. I don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind. It was so easy living day by day. Out of touch with the rhythm and blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News. It comes down to reality, and it's fine with me, 'cause I've let it slide. Don't care if in Chinatown or around Riverside. I don't have any reason left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind. Oh, yeah.
Tommy. I'm in a New York theater.
Great song, amazing poetry, and awesome words of inspiration for us to write to, Stephen. Thank you for sharing them with us. And thank you, Hatter.
Thank you, yeah.
And
you're welcome.
Love and respect,
sister.
Everyone. See you tomorrow at Sky Show. Night.
Sky.
Good night.